जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोधा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोधा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. The verse we'll be reading from is from Canto 3, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, Text 24. Is that right? Yes. Sava isha tada drashta.
Sava
isha tada drashta. Na pasya drishyam ekarat.
Na
pasya drishyam ekarat. Mene santam ivatmanam. Mene santam ivatmanam. Supta shaktir ashupta drik.
Supta shaktir
ashupta drik. Sava isha tada drashta.
Sava
isha tada drashta. Na pashyad drishyam ekadat. Mene santam ivatmanam. Supta shaktir usupta drik. Please chant. Word for word. Sa. The personality of Godhead. Va. Either. Asha. All these. Tada. At that time. Drashta. The seer. Na. Did not. Abhashya. See. Drishyam. The cosmic creation. Ekarat. Undisputed proprietor. Mene. Thought like this. Asantam. Non-existent. Eva. Like that. Atmanam. Plenary manifestations. Supta. Unmanifested. Shakti. Material energy. Asupta. Manifested. Drik. Internal potency. Translation. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time, and thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. The material energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifested. The report of Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is the supreme seer, because only by his glance did the material energy become active for cosmic manifestation. At that time, the seer was there, but the external energy, over which the glance of the Lord is cast, was not present. He felt somewhat insufficient, like a husband feeling lonely in the absence of his wife. This is a poetic simile. The Lord wanted to create the cosmic manifestation to give another chance to the conditioned souls who were dormant in forgetfulness. The cosmic manifestation gives the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. And that is its main purpose. The Lord is so kind that in the absence of such a manifestation, he feels something wanting, and thus the creation takes place. Although the creation of the internal potency was manifested, the other potency appeared to be sleeping, and the Lord wanted to awaken her to activity, just as a husband wants to awaken his wife from the sleeping state for enjoyment. It is the compassion of the Lord for the sleeping energy that he wants to see her awaken for enjoyment with the other wives who are awake. The whole process is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness, so that they might thus become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Since the Lord is Sachit Ananda Vigraha, he likes every part and parcel of his different potencies to take part in the blissful rasa, because participation with the Lord in his eternal rasa lila is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Ghanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militanjana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Kushtaya Vipreshana Pratakti Vedanta Swami Tunamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Guruvani Pachayana Vivisesha Shandiradi Vastya Jade Shatayana Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaya Shri Vasari Kavarkantana Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatri, Kisya, Kita, Sindhu, Kira, Kacha, Patita, Naam, Pavanepya, Vishnu. At the beginning, I would like to ask for all of your blessings to speak on this very beautiful, wonderful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also that I may glorify today's Srila Lochan Das Thakur's disappearance day. Lochan Das Thakur. So we will start with the Bhagavatam verse and make our way through. Have you ever heard the argument, and this is a common argument that's given, where is God's compassion when there's innocent people suffering? It's a very common argument you would hear in argument against the existence or the compassion or the presence of God. There's wars happening, there are women and children who have done nothing, who are just in the wrong place in the wrong time, and therefore they're suffering so much, and their families and generations are suffering. So who is God to be a compassionate Lord? What kind of God would allow this activity to take place in his own creation, with his own sons and daughters? And in one sense, you hear this argument, and from an emotional, empathetic standpoint, what do you really say? Perhaps you know a philosophical answer, you have a philosophical answer, and a philosophical answer is given here, but it can be hard to communicate that answer to someone who has this point, because there's a lot of emotion behind it. There are seemingly innocent people dying, and how can God let this happen? And for a lot of people, this is a big blocking point into accepting God. And so, Krishna is giving a perspective here. And this verse is very nicely explaining Krishna's intention for creating the material world. Why did he create it, and what's the purpose of it? And this theme is kind of running in this chapter, it's running in this canto and the previous canto. Creation, why did it take place in the first place, and how can we take advantage? So, it's a very nice explanation that Srila Prabhupada gives here. Basically saying that Krishna misses us. Because we believe the absolute truth, who's perfect in all six opulences, has everything, is all-knowing, all-beautiful, all-powerful. He has his internal enjoying potency. What else does he need? Why does he misses the conditioned souls who have forgotten him. And therefore he wants to create a existence for us to realize that we've forgotten him. So in purport, Srila Prabhupada is stating, the main purpose of the material world is given here, for a chance for us to go back to Godhead. And the suffering aspect of it, that this question comes up, why the suffering? That we can give the answer, well, the suffering is on us. And that may not go very far in this kind of debate or argument. But that is the truth. But when we understand the inspiration that Krishna has to create this world, that it wasn't done out of malice, it wasn't done as a punishment, it was done as an opportunity, And this analogy, Prabhupada says, this is a poetic simile. At that time, the seer was there, but the external energy, over which the glance of the Lord is cast, was not present. He felt somewhat insufficient, like a husband feeling lonely in the absence of his wife. The Lord wanted to create the cosmic manifestation to give another chance to the conditioned souls who were dormant in forgetfulness. And then later on it says, the whole process is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls. The process of this existence in the material world is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness, so that they may thus become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha lokas. Since the Lord is such an Ananda Vigraha, he likes every part and parcel of his different potencies to take part in the blissful rasa with his participation of the Lord, and his eternal rasa, rasa lila, is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. I once heard a very nice one-line description of what rasa is. I'd like to hear it. I thought it was very interesting. The taster tastes the taste. That's what I thought. The taster tastes the taste. That's rasa. That's what Krishna is saying as take part in his blissful rasa, because that is perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. The taster, the jiva, tastes the taste. What's the real taste? We're experiencing rasa in the material world also. But what kind of taste is it? Is it sweet taste, or do we think it's actually nice, but it's not? Or do we have a jaundice condition? Prabhupada uses that analogy so much. Or we have a disease condition, and the taste we're actually tasting is opposite of what it's supposed to taste. So real rasa is the taster tastes the taste. And so I was thinking, then what is the secret then? If out of love Krishna is making this seemingly miserable place, this place of misery and suffering, what's the process to take advantage? And so Bhagavatam says, Savaipam Samparo Dharma, Yato Bhaktir Adokshaje, and Bhakti to Krishna, without selfish interest, without personal motivation, and without interruption, ahaituki aprityata, then yayatma suprasediti, then the self is fully satisfied. And so since all of us are seeking, not just human beings, but every living entity, seeking happiness, pleasure, because we're part and parcel of the supreme happiness and reservoir of all pleasure, then when we come to realize this, then we can really be the taster who tastes the taste. And so I was thinking about this verse in purport, and I thought, okay, but then if Krishna created Maya out of compassion, doesn't that seem so counterintuitive? He created Maya. I thought Maya is supposed to be bad. I thought we're supposed to be afraid of Maya. We should be very afraid of Maya. Or Maya is so dangerous. You have to be so careful. I was in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was staying there a few years ago. And one devotee gave a Bhagavatam class. And all I remember from this class is this one line. He goes, Maya is your best friend. And the person next to me just started laughing. It's like, what is Maya is your best friend. Everyone woke up at that point. And then he paused and he said, because a real friend shows you who the supreme best friend is. Right? The supreme best friend is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So Maya is your best friend, because Maya can show you, if you understand what Maya really is, it's an eye-opener to see that, well, it's actually just an energy of Krishna to help me come closer to Krishna. Maya literally means that which is not. That which is not. So it doesn't mean that the entire creation is an illusion, but we can use this example as a way to understand Maya. If we see a snake, and we think the snake to be a rope, then that's Maya. It's that which is not. A snake isn't a rope. If I see a snake here and I think, great, I can put that up and climb up in the temple and get the dust from the top, then no, you're going to get big. You're going to get hurt. It's dangerous. So it's that which is not. Therefore, it's dangerous. But if we see a rope, and we a rope that could be useful for what we're trying to do, we see it as a snake, and we run away, and we say, this is dangerous, it's going to bite us. That's also Maya, that's also that which is not. Do you understand the point here? That a rope, something useful that we're trying to use, but we see it that, no, it's Maya, then, yeah, then it's a snake, that's also Maya. So if we see Krishna's external energy as run away, then perhaps we miss the whole point of why we're here, and we just get entangled in it. But if we see it that, okay, this is what it is, and this is what it's not, and it's actually coming from Krishna, this whole external energy, the gunas, it's coming from Krishna so that I can take advantage, become closer to him, and go back to Godhead, then Maya becomes our best friend. In fact, then the material world becomes a paradise for a devotee, it becomes a spiritual world, because we transcend the mode of material nature. No longer is it entanglement, but it's transcendence. So, still, if we go back to this first question, this first argument, if someone would say, how is God compassionate when there's so much suffering in this world? And you explain all of this, it may make sense theoretically, but it still seems like there's something missing, or still seems hard to grasp. And I can totally understand that. Therefore, Krishna incarnates as the embodiment of compassion in Kali Yuga. He comes as Kali Yuga Pavana, Kali Bayanashina. The song says, Sri Sachinandana Gauhe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme emblem of compassion. He is Kali Yuga Pavana, the savior of the fallen Kali Yuga. Kali Bayanashina, destroyer of all fear caused by the age of Kali, age of quarrel. So this is Krishna, out of compassion, creates this material world, but out of the most munificent compassion, the most compassion, he comes again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lochan Das Thakur sings one of the most famous songs we have in our movement about Lord Chaitanya's compassion. Parama Karuna Pahu Duhi Jana Itai Gora Chandra. They are supremely merciful, these two brothers. And if Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda, that these avatars, Nitai and Gaur, they're so special, they're Sarva Shiromani, they're the crest jewel when it comes to compassion, they're the crest jewel, the top of the top, and they're Kevala Ananda Kanda, they have all bliss, and they'll find every possible way to bring this bliss into your life. Whether you want it or not, they'll push the Harinam party towards you. It's not a matter of, here's the material world, and it's meant for this, for coming back to Krishna, but this is how to do it. And I like to think of it as Krishna's compassion is that he creates an environment for us. He misses us, he wants us to come back, but he also respects our free will. So he creates an environment, he manifests his external potency, but this becomes, if we take to it, a space to become Krishna conscious. But Lord Chaitanya's compassion is that he shows us how to do it. He doesn't just put us in the environment and with your free will now, go and try to come back to me, but here is exactly how to do it, and here's a spoon, and I'm gonna spoon feed it right into your mouth. Rather than here's the kitchen and all the ingredients, figure out how to make it, eat the prasadam, take the medicine, but here is the medicine, I've mixed it, it's on a spoon, whether you want it or not, you're going to take it. And that's Lord Chaitanya's compassion, and that is an embodiment of mercy from the Supreme Lord that I think every human being can grasp, whether they're stuck on the point that there's so much suffering in the world. But Krishna has come down and given something so simple that whether you want it or not, so powerful, it will purify you, it will help you, it will mitigate your suffering, and it will transcend you from this world to the spiritual world. And another analogy I thought at this point is, it's like going to school to learn. So if you have a school, if I go to school here and I'm trying to learn math, but there's no math teacher, there's just a classroom with other students and some books, how likely is it that I'm actually going to learn? Or will I get distracted? Right? So Mahaprabhu is like a compassionate teacher, so expertly. He'll take us by the hand, teach us how to write our ABCs, rather than having us figure it out on our own. So this is the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as today is the This appearance day of Sri Lokshindas Thakur, I was thinking that if we use this analogy of Mahaprabhu as a teacher, in a school that teaches us the way, even though the environment is already there, he takes us by the hand and teaches us the process. Maybe you have certain teachers that you still remember. Perhaps those who are older in the crowd, you can still remember their second grade teacher, their fifth grade teacher by their name. And it happens with really amazing teachers. You just don't forget them. My parents still remember their best favorite teachers from grade school, 50, 60 years past. And somehow it's, or another, it's not until you graduate or until the teacher retires that you understand how special they were and how many lives they touched. And sometimes we need someone to teach us about the teacher. And that's where the great associates and grand associates of Mahaprabhu come in. Devotees like Srila Lokshindas Thakur, the biographers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they teach us about the teacher, about the supreme teacher. They teach us who he actually is, how great he actually is. And I'm going to say was, how actually is, because he's present still today in all of our lives and all of your hearts. So Lokshindas Thakur was a disciple and close associate of Mahaprabhu's disciple, Narhari Sarkar Thakur. Lokshindas Thakur, his main known contribution and what he's most well known for is his Vaishnav bhajans. In our movement, there are three main devotees that we chant their Vaishnav bhajans: Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottamdas Thakur, and Lokshindas Thakur. He's written many famous songs like Paramakaruna and Akroda Parabhananda Nityanandarai, Nitai Gunamani Amar. So many beautiful songs come from him. But he's also written this book that's a very beautiful biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Chaitanya Mangala. Have any of you read Chaitanya Mangala before? Maybe a few. When I was 10, it's actually a funny story. This is the first book I read in Krishna consciousness, was Chaitanya Mangala, from start to finish. I was 10. There's like an abridged, there's the translation version of it. And I remember this book was sitting at home, and it was black cover, this beautiful photo of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on it. And I must have been like 9 or 10 years old, and I was always kind of intrigued by it. And my brother loved to read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was this action figure I wanted from the toy store. Maybe some of you know of a show called Dragon Ball Z, and there's a character called Goku, and I was obsessed with this action figure. And it was like $10 or $12, which is like a fortune for a 9-year-old. And it's like, oh, I just want to get that toy, but I don't have the allowance money. How am I going to do it? So he's like, okay, if you read this whole book in, you know, the next 2 months, I'll buy you the toy. And I did it. And I got the toy. And it was amazing. I don't know how much of it I really understood. But it's funny, I was looking back into the book. I was on Kindle now, so I was referring through it. And I just vaguely remember in the beginning that there was this something that was Brahma and Narada, and I remember thinking, I remember myself thinking then that, why is this Mahaprabhu story, so many pages of Narada, and Brahma, why didn't I get to Mahaprabhu? And I'm reading again, and I'm looking through this same parts of the book, and I'm thinking, oh, something did stick. And there's a really wonderful story I want to share from the very beginning of Chaitanya Mangala. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about biographies of Mahaprabhu. And actually, I found this statistic from Keshav Maharaj, but there are 27 biographies, known biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 27. Seven main ones. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangala, Mari Gupta's Diary, I can't remember the name, Chaitanya Chandradari Natika, which is a drama script, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there's, it just goes, I think that's maybe seven there. But there's a lot of writing of Mahaprabhu, and this is actually based, Chaitanya Mangala is based primarily on Mari Gupta's Diary, as he had taken so many accounts of everything that had taken place in Mahaprabhu's earlier first half of his pastimes. But the book starts with a really wonderful story, a prelude long before Advaita Acharya calls for Mahaprabhu to appear. You like to hear it? So it starts with Narad Muni, as many stories always start with Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is seeing that Kali Yuga has started and it's already getting really bad. And he's trying to go around and chant the names of Radhika Raman, but even his endeavor is a struggle and people aren't taking up. And so he's really, really worried. So he decides, I'm going to go to Dwarka and talk to Krishna about this. So he goes to Dwarka, and as that same day, as he's making his way there, Krishna's at the palace of Satyabhama. And Krishna sends a message to Rukmini that I'm just now coming. So she gets very excited. She dresses nicely, she makes arrangements, she starts to clean, she starts to cook. And then she sees Krishna coming, and she's feeling very excited, very ecstatic. And Krishna comes, and sits down, and they have wonderful exchanges and talks, and she's massaging his feet. It's a very happy exchange, maybe a usual exchange that happens in Dwarka. And all of a sudden, Rukmini begins to cry. And Krishna is just thinking, what happened? Everything was fine, and now you're crying. What's wrong? And I'll quote this from the book. It said, "Oh Devi, I can't understand why you are weeping. Please tell me why you are crying so profusely. The whole world knows that you're my favorite. Who is more dear to me than you?" And then he starts doing what every husband would probably do. He starts thinking of all the things that he might have done to make her upset. "I'm crying, I can't figure it out. Was it that I said this and I embarrassed you? Was it that this happened and you felt misunderstood? Or I said something mean to you?" And he's just going, you know, this is Krishna, all-knowing. "Why is Rukmini crying? I can't understand. Universal problem." She responded, "You will never know, Krishna. You will never know why I'm upset. You know, I know everything. I know all the living entities. The source of knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. No, you will never know. What will I never know, Rukmini?" She's saying, "We are having such sweet exchanges here, but at one moment you will leave. And when you leave, do you know what that separation feels like?" He didn't have a response. And this is directly from the book. "You know everything there is to know, but how is it that you don't understand the heart of one who loves your lotus feet? You will understand the intensity of the love I feel if you cultivate Radha Bhava, the mood of Srimati Radharani's selfless love within your heart. Just see the power of Radha's pure love. Her heart pines, your heart pines for her, and tears pour from your eyes whenever you chant the name of Radha." And as Krishna heard this, he was humbled, and he realized there's something I have to learn about, stuck in his mind. But just at that moment, very conveniently, Narad Muni shows up, of course. When he arrives, of course Krishna receives him, offers his respects, and honors him. And Narad Muni comes and starts crying, and Krishna goes, "Oh my God, two in one day, what's going on?" And Narad Muni begins to cry. Krishna was shocked. "Narad Muni, what's the problem?" And he said, "When you leave, Dharma also leaves. And Kali Yuga begins, and the whole world's enveloped by darkness. What will happen to the living entities in Kali Yuga? Do you have a plan? Do you have a solution?" And he says, "I do not see your names being chanted. I travel all over the universe, I do not see your names being chanted. I do not see a means of deliverance for these people. This is why I'm crying. This is why I'm sorry. This is my sorrow. This is why I'm sad." So then Krishna hears Rukmini, he hears Narad Muni, so he decides to make a promise. He said, these two doubts from these two experiences, they're on his mind. The first one is, there's something I don't know. Me, who is all-knowing, doesn't know something. That's a little shocking. And the second is, what will I do for the living entities of Kali Yuga? Sure, I've created this material world as an environment for the living entities to come back to me. It doesn't seem to be working so well, not in this age of Kali. So what will I do? So at that moment, in front of Rukmini and in front of Narad Muni, Krishna makes a resolution. He said, "I will appear in Kali Yuga and I'll fulfill these two purposes. First one was, there's something I don't know. It's Srimati Radharani's love for me, his internal purpose. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this very beautifully. Radha Bhava Dyuti Sivalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. to understand Radha Bhav. It comes in this form, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Radha Bhav is the heart of compassion. It's Karunamayi, Radharani. She's the most compassionate. Radha Bhav is ultimately compassion. So that external flow, the overflow of Radha Bhav becomes his external purpose. Is that, that is that he will provide a way for all living entities to escape from Kali Yuga. And that's through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kutam, Halo Nasdeva Nasdeva, Nasdeva Kutam Mata. And this is the purpose why Krishna creates the material worlds explained here in Bhagavatam, taken to a very concentrated form. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose. And therefore, Lochan Das Thakur says, and this is a song that I only came to know about last week, there was a six-hour kirtan here at the temple. For those who don't know, we're starting a monthly six-hour kirtan. It's really ecstatic. Every third Saturday, I think, of every month. And the last kirtan was a bhajan, and Kirtan Prem and his brother sang the song, Kejabi Kejabi by Bhava Sindhu Par. It means, who will go, brothers? Who will cross over this ocean of material suffering? This Kali Yuga in which Sri Chaitanya Avatar has appeared is blessed. Yes, it is blessed. And then he says, at the bathing place of my Goranga, a free ferry boat is waiting. There is no restriction. Everyone is coming, including the lame, blind, and distressed. All are climbing aboard to cross over. This is a very beautiful image of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Think of a boat. Harinam is the boat. Sri Guru is the helmsman. And the Sankirtan party, moving up, raised arms, are the oars. It's so beautiful. Harinam is the boat. This is Lochan Das Thakur saying, Harinam is the boat. Sri Guru is the helmsman. And the Sankirtan party, with arms raised, they are the oars. All souls can cross over with the favorable winds of prema. And in humility, Lochan Das Thakur says, only Lochan Das is so unfortunate due to his own fault that he has been left behind. So you see Krishna's purpose of creating this material world is that he's missing something. Imagine that feeling that's so concentrated that missing my living entities, and I thought I created this world for them, but it doesn't seem to be working the way I intended. It's not as fast as it should be. Not everybody's coming back, or a few. And so in this very pure, concentrated form of mercy, really most concentrated, here in the story, you can see from this verse in Bhagavatam in the story, the mindset of Krishna and how it becomes more and more urgent and more focused, that, yes, I am coming for this purpose. And then you hear from the devotees of Mahaprabhu, the biographers of Mahaprabhu, and they're singing, he has come, there is a boat going, anyone can catch this ferry, lame, blind, distressed, hop on, prema is moving it. But are you so unfortunate that due to your own fault, you're left behind? There's no more excuse for exiting the material world. No more excuse. It's right there. The only reason, even if you're blind, you can catch the boat. But it's only to your own fault or negligence that you'll miss it. And so I wanted to end with a little encouragement. I was thinking that this time period, it's now just under 2 months before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day, is so many holiday, Vaishnava holidays and appearance days of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very nice time to be absorbed in Gaura consciousness. And one way to do it is this Chaitanya Mangala, a really beautiful book. And you may find pastimes you've never heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's very, very inspiring. It's only about 300 pages. So if you read 6 pages a day, starting today, you'll finish it. And I'm sure you'll feel very ecstatic. And so with that point, I will end here and see if there are any questions, comments, or reflections. There's a mic coming. I think it's off, I don't know. You have to hold the button down, you know.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I was like, when you read the purport, I was like, oh my God, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't even really describe it. I was shocked. Like, Krishna is like, he's not feeling complete. He's feeling lack. Wait a minute, you know. Which is, you know, I was really amazed by that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there was something else in it, but I can't remember what I was to say, but I had to say that. It was just like, wow, that was like, and I remember what I was going to say now.
Mm-hmm.
That it's interesting that you would bring this up, because this is like, speaking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, this is like the 50th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya coming to this part of Florida.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's very, you know, it's like Lord Chaitanya came to the material world to bring us back home, and then he came to Florida to bring us back home.
It's true.
That's all I had to say.
If you hear the arrival address, which I'm sure you have, but of Srila Prabhupada coming to Atlanta, he becomes overwhelmed by the mercy of Mahaprabhu coming to Atlanta, coming to Caracas, coming to Miami, all the places he has come to. And he becomes overwhelmed that he can't keep speech, the shortest address. And then he's crying tears and chanting Parama Karuna, because it's the same. Mahaprabhu he's come to deliver everyone, and everybody here in Atlanta, and everybody here in Miami, and even Srila Prabhupada feels that overwhelmness of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Thank you. Anybody else? Please.
You know, it's also overwhelming to see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributes these books. As a book distributor, I realize that every day.
Mm.
You have no idea how he's going to do it, but he does.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you all very much for being here today. It's such a blessing to speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is just one or two days of trying to think a little more of Mahaprabhu's Leela and read up something. And I feel so blissful just from that. So I'm excited to continue on with this book. And just for Leela. And just for being one of the aspiring servants of Mahaprabhu. It's such a joyful, blissful, wonderful opportunity, really. When I think of Krishna consciousness in relation to Gaura Nitya, maybe you feel this also. It's just blissful. It's Kevala Ananda Kanda. And so I'm very grateful to be in that Sangha. Hare Krishna, Gantara, Srila Bhagavatam, Ki, Srila Lochandas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ki, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.